You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Baltimore Orioles with Orioles broadcaster Jim Hunter. Jim, I had a question for you last week that we didn't get to. And just chatting before we started, I think you kind of answered it to some degree. And the question is a kind of big picture. Where does this team get better? I mean, obviously everybody could use a number one starter, but the rotation is pretty good. The bullpen is good. The lineup is powerful. And they're a little over 500. And I think maybe I know what the answer is just by being patient. But is there any other way? How does this team get to where it expects to be from being a team that's in the hunt but not excelling right now?
Well, Matthew, I think the simple answer is they're getting their players back. You know, if you look at what happened to this team in spring training, Matt Wieters was in spring training. The hope was he would be ready for opening day, but he only made one start in spring training on St. Patrick's Day, coming back from the Tommy John surgery, and he had to make one throw in that game, ironically. It was on a swinging bunt, and he aired it out to first. The next day he showed up with tendonitis, and they basically shut him down and started over to make sure that they weren't rushing this. He still made it back less than a year prior to the surgery, which is amazing. But now they have him back, and they're using him very judiciously. Every other day catching. He didn't start last night, but he came on to pinch hit. And when you have such an impact player rejoining your team, it's like making a trade. And the other player that was in that situation was J.J. Hardy. He got hurt late in spring training by colliding with Jonathan Scope. They both went after the same pop-up out behind the bag. And J.J. began the year on the DL. And he's the most important infielder in the sense that he's the veteran infielder, and he's kind of the quarterback, if you will. You know, he reminds the second baseman, hey, move 2 feet here, and looks over to Manny and says, okay, I'm going to move 2 feet this way so you have more ground to cover. You miss that when it's not there, and when it is there, you kind of take it for granted because of how good he is. And when you bring two guys back like that that are everyday players, and even though Matt's not playing every day yet, eventually the hope is he will be, it stabilizes everything. You know, there's a saying in baseball, depth is good until you have to use it. There are players in baseball, no disrespect because they're major leaguers, but they're backups for a reason. And when you have to play them every day and rely on them, your team is not as strong as it might be if you have your frontline players. And if you look at the way the season went, in April, even missing those guys, the team really hit well, but the pitching struggled. So they went 10-10. Then in May, all of a sudden, the pitching found its niche, and the team had trouble scoring runs, so they go 3 below .500 in May. And now in June, they're really in concert. They're hitting, they're pitching. The defense has been fabulous. Paredes made a late error last night. It's only the third error in the last 24 games, and they've gone from a terrible April fielding the ball to now first in the American League at team fielding. So there's a lot of combinations, but I think the main thing is they're finally getting the team back that when Buck and their coaches went to spring training sometime in February, envisioning what's our regular lineup going to be, except for Scope, they're back to that. And that's how you gain consistency and how you get on a roll. You get on a roll with your frontline players, and they're finally getting them back, and a lot of them are getting hot at the same time.
One guy they are still doing without for the time being is Miguel Gonzalez. How far away is he from being back?
Well, Buck said yesterday that there's a very good chance he'll be back within the DL period. So that is 15 days on the DL, so that's maybe one day shy of missing three starts, but he'll at least miss two starts. The one thing about this team, that the organization is just so good. Dan Duquette does a wonderful job of bringing in depth. I think we talked about this last week. They call them the what-if guys, and there's a lot of what-if guys at Norfolk who are now all of a sudden, you know, like Chris Parmalee now in Baltimore. They do have depth. Mike Wright has been called up. Tyler Wilson has been called up. They have other options if needed, and they're not going to rush him. When you have a groin injury, as Miguel did, and it's your push-off leg as a right-handed pitcher, you have to be very, very careful not to rush that back, because what you don't want to have happen is you do rush back and you make it worse, and then you're out for an extended period of time. He's very important to the staff. He stabilizes the staff more times than not, goes out and gives them a quality start and a chance to win. So they don't use timetables in this organization because they don't want to set the bar and then miss it. So they say they're progressing. But I did see Miguel yesterday by coincidence came out of a room and got a haircut. I mean, it's amazing what these ball players have at the ballpark. But I said, how are you feeling? He goes, it's light years better than 2 days ago. So as long as he does what they have to do, the medical staff on this team does a great job at rehabbing players. If he doesn't come back right at the 15 days, I think it'll be shortly after that that he'll return.
And one other little shuffle in that rotation that got a lot of attention. It's to some extent kind of a paper move. Wei Yin Chen gets sent down for one start. It drew a lot of attention, I think, because it was a ball. But that was kind of just how it worked out. But it was interesting because it raised a couple of issues to me. And one is what the level of concern is about his health, because it was presented as, hey, he pitched 8 innings. We're a little worried about his health. And the other half of it that I wondered about is, we're all kind of reading between the lines, but there was a Twitter post or two that led people to wonder if maybe he wasn't on board with this move. So those are the two things I wonder. How big a concern is there about keeping him healthy, and is this a big deal or a small deal as far as Chen himself is concerned?
Well, it's really not a big deal. It's being done for the betterment of the team. When you are on a team managed by Buck Showalter and run by Dan Duquette, the bottom line is winning today. And how do we win today, and how do we ensure the health of our players going forward? Now, this week, June 15th, hit this week on Monday, and Chris Parmalee, who was signed to a minor league contract, had an opt-out clause on June 15th, and he was tearing it up in AAA for Norfolk. The Orioles had until midnight on Monday, on June 15th, to either activate him or he would become a free agent. And the way other teams are scrambling around for players, they knew that he would land on another team, maybe even in the division playing against the Orioles. So this is, in two ways, it's tremendous use of the roster by teams that aren't afraid to make bold moves, and the Orioles aren't. They did this last year with Bud Norris and Miguel Gonzalez. In fact, when Bud got sent down to Double-A Bowie, it was over the All-Star break. He had to pitch in Double-A in the Eastern League when the rest of the team was enjoying the 4 days off. He lost two of his days at the All-Star break because it was roster management to make the team better going into and then out of the All-Star break. Now, the other aspect of this is, Chen pitched 8 shutout innings the other night. But the start before, in between innings, out of the eye of the public, he was talking with Dave Wallace, our pitching coach, and complaining of fatigue out on the mound. And they were wondering if he was going to even make it another inning or two. And the other thing is that if you were going to do this, and, you know, it's funny, options are great unless you're the player that has options and can be sent down. But if you were going to do this, this is the time to do it. The reason he's going to Frederick is Frederick is home, and it's 30 miles from downtown Baltimore. So Chen can live in his apartment, drive to Frederick, do his work, and then come back. And it's only going to be one start. The other thing about Chen is, if you look at his career, the start after he goes 7 or 8 innings, traditionally he's not as sharp. He's a pitcher that came from the Japanese major leagues where they're used to 6-man rotations. Maybe they make one start a week. Here it's every 5 days. And even though he's in his fourth year and he's done a wonderful job overall, there are times where he has shown some fatigue. So basically, you know, I'm perplexed because Buck told everybody yesterday in his pregame presser that they sat down with Chen, with his interpreter, and with his the other guy there, I guess he has his own strength coach, but obviously to make sure, because even though Wayne's English is better, they want to make sure that he understands why this move is being made. And when that meeting ended, Chen was 100% on board with why this was going to happen. He's going to be back a week from Friday and pitch against Cleveland at Camden Yards. I mean, it's one start. He's going to go down 4 innings, pitch at Frederick, get a little bit of a blow, and then come back. Now, my question is, you know, who sent out those tweets last night? Chen doesn't do any interviews in English. I'm a little suspicious that he actually sent out a tweet in English. So is that his representation trying to stir it up and make the Orioles look bad? If they are, it's silly, because the bottom line is that it's all about winning today. This organization is brilliant at using the 40-man roster, and and guys moving in and out. I can't imagine how much money they spend on flights to get guys here and there. And, you know, if a player's agent is upset that it's his player that they're utilizing in this way, even though the Orioles believe for the remainder of the year this will benefit Chen, well, then that's their opinion. But the Orioles have a track record of doing this since Dan Duquette and Buck have been partners, and it has always worked out well.
That leads me into one last question, which is it doesn't seem to have been officially announced yet, but some talk that Kevin Gausman may get that start. He'd be another guy to be awfully big to add if he could get going, whether it be in the rotation or the bullpen. What is the plan for Gausman over the coming weeks and really months?
We don't know. this again goes back to the depth that they have. Kevin made the team out of spring training as a reliever. He excelled as a reliever last year. But the problem for Kevin was in May, when the starters began pitching well, he wasn't getting regular use, and that's why they believe he came down with it was a very minor sore shoulder. It might, you know, if he was in the rotation or pitching regularly, they might have just given him a few days off, but he's too big of a part of the future at age 24 years old. So they put him on the DL. He's been rehabbing it. They've been bringing a bat. He pitched, ironically, at Frederick last night. Frederick is getting a lot of attention during this week. But they have three options for this weekend. Bud Norris and Obada will pitch the two games at Philadelphia. And then there's the three-game series that will come up in Toronto. Friday is Miguel's turn. Now, Mike Wright made that start over the weekend on Sunday for Miguel. That was the first start Miguel missed. So Mike Wright was called back from AAA. He was up earlier. He made that start. So it would fall on his turn. Tyler Wilson relieved Mike Wright. His day to pitch at AAA was Sunday. He got called up, and he pitched 3 1/3 scoreless in relief of Wright on Sunday. So Friday would be his turn to pitch. And if Kevin is activated, Kevin could go into the rotation and he could pitch. And one of those other guys who doesn't get the start would be the first one in, just in case Kevin can't make it deep. Because let's face it, if you're on the DL, you know, obviously it's all about pitch count, but if they give you five innings coming off the DL, you're happy with that. The other X factor of all this, Matthew, is somebody now has to pitch Saturday, because that's Chen's turn. They're fine for Sunday because that'll be Tillman, but somebody's got to start Friday, somebody's got to start Saturday, and they have three options. Two are active, one is Gausman, to come back. And again, this is just all brilliant roster management. I mean, technically what they could do is Wright or Wilson could start Friday, then get optioned out after the game. Gausman could be activated for Saturday and he could pitch, and then Wright or Wilson, who doesn't get optioned down, is there ready in long relief for one of the two games. So again, here we're circling around right back to, wow, does this team know how to use a 40-man roster? So, you know, Kevin is without a doubt a big part of the future. Unfortunately, it was a numbers game in spring training. He was one of six for five spots, and he ended up in the bullpen. But I'm real interested to see after these two games in Philadelphia what happens when they get to Toronto, because there are a lot of moving parts in this organization. I mean, I looked yesterday. I think we have seven outfielders on the roster. it's amazing how they have come to this current roster, that who knows how long it'll last. But Gausman's definitely in the mix for one of the starts this weekend.
Well, really good stuff. Jim Hunter, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.